Chapter 2, I Land a Job with Dean Witter. I'm not sure how, but somehow I mustered the will to pick myself up off that garage floor, brush myself off, put on my Brooks Brothers suit, and go look for a job. It was time to stop feeling sorry for myself and get on with my life. And although I had suffered the huge disappointment of losing my wife and baby, life goes on. And in those days, I was resilient and had the ability to bounce back. You might not think so, but there is a very fine line between a jobless, broke, dirty, down-and-out guy sleeping on a garage floor and a guy in a nice suit sitting in a posh office selling stocks and bonds for a major Wall Street brokerage house, and I certainly would be proof of that. Anyway, I called up a top brokerage house, Dean Witter Reynolds, which was located in downtown Chicago, and I made an appointment for a job interview. I had been interested in the stock market since I was a kid, so why not give it a try? I interviewed with a guy named Rich DeMartini, the Chicago branch manager of Dean Witter, and a very sharp guy. The interview process consisted of three interviews. The first interview was a typical interview, plus fill-out application. The second interview was to test the applicant's ability to deal with certain situations with the customer on the phone. So when I got there, I was told to sit over there at the desk with the phone, and when it rings, answer it. Hence the test, which, by the way, was contracted out to some private company. So anyway, I sat at the desk, the phone rang, and I picked it up. And the person who works for the testing company says something that I'm supposed to respond to, but I couldn't get past the fact that the whole exercise was a fake. So I did their little phone test, and then was told to return for a final interview at the same time the following day. So I arrived for my third and final interview, and I sit right in front of Rich DeMartini's desk as usual, and we greet each other. And then he says to me, "Brad, according to the company that is contracted to do that phone test, they said that you didn't do well and that you don't have much potential in phone sales," or some such thing. And as soon as I heard that come out of his mouth, I shot back in no uncertain terms, "Rich, no one is ever going to tell me that I'm not a good salesman." And I meant it. I was pissed. And with that, he said, "You're hired." That is a true verbatim story. Ask Rich. The weird thing was, I didn't have a college degree, and I've always believed to this day that whoever went over my application couldn't figure out my chicken scratch mess, because I had listed three different colleges with dates and fields of study and whatever other info was required, and I'm guessing someone had just assumed I had graduated. I have no idea if a degree was a requirement to get hired, but the reason I think that a degree was probably a requirement is because there were three people hired at the same time. One guy, George Hughes, had a degree from Harvard and even played on their famous hockey team, and if I'm not mistaken, was the last guy cut on the USA hockey team that beat Russia in the Olympics. And the other guy, whose name eludes me, went to Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University, which is as good as it gets. And then me, three colleges and no degree. Well, it doesn't make sense that they would hire those two guys with those credentials and then hire me, a guy who had attended three different colleges and never finished, and in fact, didn't even come close. Plus one school that I attended, Hanover College, I was thrown out of midterm for disciplinary reasons. So I'll always think they blew it when hiring me, as a degree was most likely a requirement. I never lied on my application, by the way. Anyway, by hook or by crook, I somehow landed a very good job with a very good company. By now, I was okay with my folks, and they even helped me get an apartment in downtown Chicago, which, by the way, just happened to be located in one of the very best neighborhoods in all of the city called the Gold Coast. So on Monday morning, I show up at the Dean Witter office wearing my navy blue, summer weight wool Brooks Brothers suit, new shoes, white button-down collar Oxford shirt, the right tie, and looking every bit the part of a stockbroker. From a bum on a garage floor to a well-dressed businessman entering the beautiful offices of Dean Witter in the blink of an eye. Unfortunately, little did they know that just underneath the fine summer weight wool of that navy Brooks Brothers suit was that same mess of a man. When I showed up for my first day to work, the Monday, the following the final interview, I was directed to sit at a certain desk, which contained my study course for the Series 7 exam, a tough six-hour exam that passing is a requirement to becoming a licensed stockbroker. So every day upon arrival, I'd sit down at my desk and I'd study each of those lessons books that were part of the Series 7 study course until I had completed the course in the required time frame, and then I took the Series 7 exam and passed. I've included a description of the Series 7 from Wikipedia and also a bit on Dean Witter Reynolds. The Series 7 exam, also known as the General Securities Representative exam, is a test for registered representatives. The Financial Industry Regulatory Authority administers the exam. In the United States, stockbrokers take this test to get a license to trade. The Series 7 is a six-hour exam. It is held in 2 3-hour sessions. There are 260 questions on the test, 250 which count toward the final score. Candidates have to score at least 72% to pass. And on Dean Whittle Reynolds. Dean Whittle Reynolds was an American stockbroker and securities firm catering to retail clients. Prior to the company's acquisition, it was among the largest retail firms in the securities industry with over 9,000 account executives, ranking third in the U.S. in 1996, and was among the largest members of the New York Stock Exchange. The company served over 3.2 million clients, primarily in the U.S. Dean Whittle provided debt and equity underwriting and brokerage as mutual funds and other savings and investment products for individual investors. The company's asset management arm, Dean Whittle InterCapital, with total assets of $90 billion prior to the acquisition, was one of the largest asset management operations in the U.S. Right after passing the Series 7, I was shipped off to Dean Whittle's San Francisco training facility for a one-month training course where I would be joined by other Dean Whittle trainees from all over the country. Stay tuned because you're in for a ride. End of chapter.